Our scriptures today from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verse 1 through 12. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away of the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how we told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning to from the tomb, they all told this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank our brother in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you, my friend. Please join with me in prayer. We thank you, loving God, for how you are at work. We thank you also for these words, alive, speaking to us specifically, speaking to us as your church, as your people. And Father, we thank you that these are not simply words, ink on paper. It's your word that is alive and creating in us, whether we realize it or not. Thank you for that grace and love and power. And it's in the name of Christ, our risen Savior, that we pray. Amen. I want you to go ahead and look at somebody. Look at somebody. Look them right in the eyes. If you feel comfortable enough, give them an Eskimo kiss if you really want to. If you want to. It's up to you, if you know them well enough. And look them right in the eyes and just say, "Well, I'll never do that again." Hopefully, you're not referring to what you just did. Because sharing the good news is important. In fact, it's who we are. It's essential. Like every breath is needed, sharing the good news is something that we do every moment in one way or another. There is a website that is connected and created by an online magazine called Smith, S-M-I-T-H. You can write that down. You can check this out. And they have something called six-word memoirs. Okay? You know what a memoir is? It's you know, somebody's life, and they're talking about their life, and I'm always amazed whenever somebody who has instant celebrity all of a sudden has the need to now issue their biography or autobiography, and especially somebody who's maybe 16 and just signed a record deal, and now they want to put out their life story. I understand we can learn from all sorts of people, from all sorts of situations. But life story maybe encompasses a little bit more in my mind, at least. Six-word memoirs. Six words to convey the meaning of our lives, to convey our lives, to convey what's important in our lives. Here are a few that were sent in. And on this website, you can send in your own or multiple ones. Not quite what I was planning. Have you ever said that? It all changed in an instant. This is one that was sent in by somebody who was grieving the loss of a relationship. "I still make coffee for two." Some are kind of funny. This was offered by comedian Stephen Colbert. "Well, I thought it was funny." Some are quite poignant. Ernest Hemingway offered this one. For sale, baby shoes never worn. And then this one that was offered by screenwriter Nora Ephron. Some of you may, this may appeal to you. Secret of life, marry an Italian. I guess I'll let it sink in a little bit, huh? Any amens out there? Possibly? You can put in whatever you want as the last word there, okay? It's the secret of your life. Six words. I want to share another six words with you. And actually, you already shared them in the bulletin. If you look at the front of your bulletin, at the very bottom of the page, Jesus is risen from the dead. Now, many of you shared that. Those who followed along with the liturgy, you shared it. All of you have at least looked at it right now. And those are the six words that define us. This very day, Jesus is risen from the dead. It was an extraordinary set of occurrences and circumstances, wasn't it, that our brother shared earlier. There were some rather troubling and disturbing things that had taken place leading up to that. It's important, I feel, that we as Christians celebrate Good Friday, celebrate it, because we know the rest of the story. Friday is on the way. Hope is on the way. Jesus has been crucified. Jesus has died. That's clearly stated in Luke. And Jesus has been buried. Those are all things that took place. And yet today, we come and we experience an empty tomb as well, just as those first friends experienced an empty tomb. And experiencing that empty tomb means that there is no longer an emptiness in us, because Christ is not contained in some tomb that we go and visit, some graveyard that we go and mourn. Christ is unleashed into the world out of that tomb, and therefore is at work in us as well. That, my friends, is something to celebrate. That, my friends, is conveyed in that memoir that each of us has. Six words. Jesus is risen from the dead. Say that along with me. Jesus is risen from the dead. The first day of the week, early dawn, they came to the tomb. And if there's any question that they wondered if Jesus was dead or not, there wasn't a question, okay? They were taking spices. They were going there to prepare his body. According to Jewish ritual, he was dead. He had died. They were doing what they were called to do now, according to ritual. And then something that changed their world and the rest of the world forever took place. A dazzling brightness, and messengers came before them. And we have this image of them literally dropping to the ground. If something really, really startles you, I mean, really startles you and surprises you, are you going to go, are you going to go, well, this was not something that simply surprised them. This was something that changed how they saw everything. So we can excuse them if it didn't soak in immediately. They thought that the one that they were following was gone. They thought that all of those promises that God had made through him were negated. They thought that this whole new way of living life was now washed away. And now it's changed back again. Have you ever played Uno? Anybody ever played Uno? Okay. And you think that you're really on a roll? And then somebody slaps one of those reverses on you. And at those points, you don't necessarily want to call them beloved, but you think of something else. Okay? Right. Okay. Some of you are pretty intense with gaming. I've heard that. This was God slapping a big reverse on all of creation. Things were turned around. Things were put in a whole different direction, okay? They thought it was going in one direction, mourning, he's gone. What do we do now? He's alive. What do we do now? Same question, different inflection, different way that it's asked. What do we do now that Jesus is risen from the dead? Well, there are others that came also. These individuals that came and first saw it started remembering then, and remembering what it was that they taught, that he taught them, and remembering his teachings and his way of life. And that was important because they were now going to be witnesses to the resurrected Christ. They were going to be witnesses to this Jesus who the tomb could not hold, who death could not conquer. We understand that whenever they told others, they said, yeah, right. I don't think so. But they still went. Peter got up and ran to the tomb, it says in verse 12, stooped and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then they went home, amazed at what had happened. Amazed, dumbfounded, perplexed. All sorts of terms that we can use to describe that. He sees the linen cloths there, and he knew, okay, Jesus was wrapped in those, and now the cloths are there, but there's no Jesus. What's going on here? What do we do now? What do I do now? What do we do with this truth? My friends, that's the question that is before each and every one of us today. What do we do with this truth? That the cloths are left behind. That Jesus is alive and arisen. What do we do with that? How do we convey it? What do we share? Last night, Judy and I were with another couple at dinner. And an extraordinary thing happened. We left with containers of food. That's not necessarily extraordinary. I know you probably think that looking at me. It's not extraordinary. But what happened next was a surprise, and it was kind of startling, actually. But it reminded me about what we do next with this resurrected Savior, this empty tomb with the linen cloths lying there, and Jesus, alive and well and resurrected. A dirty, smelly, disheveled child of God, brother in Christ, approached us. Didn't ask for money. All he said was, "Could I have your leftovers?" Only thing for us to do Absolutely. What we did was not extraordinary in the least. What we did was give the glory for the resurrected Christ. That was it. What he did took the guts. What he did took courage to humble himself once more and approach somebody for their table scraps. My friends, Easter is not simply about one day. It is about the resurrected Savior being in charge of our lives each and every day. It is about that phrase that we've said a number of times now, Jesus is risen from the dead. Jesus is risen from the dead. You mean you forgot those six words already? Jesus is risen from the dead. Jesus is risen from the dead. Jesus is risen from the dead. Got about 90% of you. That's good. It means that those words define us now. What we say, what we do, and how we see others. Can we see the risen Christ in the face of that other person? Are we called to? Yes. Can we see that risen Christ in circumstances of brokenness? Yes. Can we see the risen Christ in circumstances of grieving and healing? Yes. Because Christ is risen, there is hope for tomorrow. Those words, Jesus is risen from the dead, have been shared at bedsides. Those words, Jesus is risen from the dead, have been shared around dinner tables. They've been shouted from rooftops. They've been offered in workplaces and neighborhoods. Jesus is risen from the dead. Those six words give meaning to the over 700,000 other words in the Bible. And Jesus is risen from the dead gives meaning to the lives of the over 2 billion people who claim the name of that one who walked out of the tomb. It's more than a personal memoir. Those words define who we are. And what wonderful words to be defined by. I'd like you to think about those words right now as we come into a time of reflection. Thinking about those words, we understand that if they aren't true, as Paul said to the Corinthian church, we are of all people most to be pitied. But we know that they are true. The tomb was empty. Jesus is risen from the dead. What does that mean to you today? How is God speaking to you through that truth? Join with me in prayer.